What I'm about to give you is not the planned sermon. The sermon, the thing I'm about, things I'm about to say to you for the next little bit was not what I had planned to say to you today as of a few hours ago. Okay? This was not what was the plan. We had the whole thing worked out, notes and everything. The whole thing. And we changed it. We've been going through, on Sundays, been going through the story of the Bible, the journey of the Bible, telling the Bible stories. Anthony did a great job, by the way, the last couple weeks, and I know he blessed your heart with his messages. And we write these messages together all through the series. Everything I've ever spoken, he's been a part of, and vice versa when he spoke. We do these together, and we were continuing our journey through the Bible, and that was the plan today, the next story up. So if you came hoping for a story or if you like the stories, I'm glad. Good news, we're back at it next Sunday. But for today, we have a curveball. So I've been doing this for 25 plus years. I've been speaking for longer, but I've been pastoring this church for over a quarter of a century. Not in this location, but God gave us the new location and brought some of us together, so that's great. I've been pastoring this organization for a quarter of a century. Through a lot, we've changed. We left a fundamental Baptist movement and became a community-minded church. We reinvented ourselves a handful of years ago. We've been through a lot of transitions, but it has been great. But a handful of times through the years, God will impress upon me to change the direction of the sermon I planned to preach, sometimes at the last minute. Now, we don't usually operate last minute. We tend to operate our sermons well in advance, and the reason why is because I think God's Spirit is able to help plan well in advance. Like, he's able to know months in advance what's going to be needed before it gets here. It's amazing how we'll work on sermons sometime, and way before that sermon is finally delivered, it's been ready to go, and when that day comes to deliver it, there's a need that it's meeting that day, like God knew the timing was right. So we usually work well in advance and try to follow God's leading every single week. But sometimes God just makes me uncomfortable, and I think that's what he's done this week. Struggled a lot for the last few days. Actually talked to Anthony Friday, so let's reinvent our message. Tried a whole new thing. Couldn't get peace throughout last night. I went through it several times. Got to bed late last night. Wasn't at ease because I felt like God had something else in mind, or it wasn't what it needed to be today, which is very rare. This is not how we operate. And then this morning, in the middle of the night, I refused to call the time I woke up morning yet. But sometime in the middle of the night, God woke me up, and I have not been back to sleep since. And I just felt like I needed to change the sermon. So thankfully, Anthony graciously took my last-minute note. I scribbled a few notes out. I said, can you put these verses and these statements on the screen? And he made it happen on the fly. I didn't wake him up that early. I just let him know about 7 in the morning. Here's some changes, man. And we're just going to change the plan today, okay? And so that's unusual. Now, I hope it comes out okay, because normally on a Sunday when I preach the normal message you get, I've gone through it like 4 times completely on stage, and it got smoother each time, so the transitions are better. And I didn't get a chance to do that one because it just came a few hours ago, which means the poor people in 9 o'clock hour were total guinea pigs. It was a sad massacre. But at least you get the second round. And so as we get into this, it's not rehearsed, not practiced, last-minute slides. I'm asking for some grace as I try to convey something that is not well rehearsed. But I'm going to trust that someone needed this today. I'm going to trust there's a reason why the plan got changed. Otherwise, I'm going to go insane, right? So that's what I'm going to go with. So I'm going to read you a few verses, then I'm going to tell you a story and share my heart for a while, then we're going to look at those verses before we're done at the end. The verses are found in Matthew 11, verse 28, starting with verse 28. Jesus is talking. It says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary. I want to ask you a question today. Are any of you weary today? Is anyone weary? Yeah, mom and dad back there, you got a good reason. Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I wonder this morning, and you don't have to raise your hand for this again, but you don't need to. Are you carrying heavy burdens today? Yes, a new baby, that's a heavy burden. Are you weary this morning? Are you carrying a heavy burden? Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens. And he said, I will give you rest. That sounds good, doesn't it? When you're weary, that sounds good when you're carrying a heavy burden. Jesus said, let me do that for you. We'll talk more about that. But then the next verse almost seems like he changes the subject. In verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you. A yoke is a device that someone would use to do work out in the field. It could be, usually it was a yoke, it was a team effort. It was like two oxen together would pull in a yoke, a plow to till the fields. You could have a single yoke, or even a person could have a yoke of sorts that a human would use instead of an animal if you didn't have one. But oftentimes it was for two oxen. And he says, take my yoke upon you. That's work. You're like, hold on. That last verse was really awesome. I like this whole come to you because I'm weary and tired and full of heavy burdens and I'm going to find some rest. Rest sounds good. And now you're talking about taking a yoke, taking your yoke upon me, Jesus. That sounds different. What does that mean? But it's interesting because here's the thing about life. We're all going to carry something anyhow. In fact, we're already carrying a yoke. In fact, let's go back to the previous verse just real quick here. Here's the thing about some of us. We're carrying a load through life, and many of us, our yoke is a heavy burden. We're weary, just going through and just carrying the load we carry. And Jesus, take that burden that you're dragging around with you and come to me with it so I can give you some rest. And then he says, take my yoke. I'm going to give you something different to carry. You're going to carry something, but I'm going to give you something different to carry. He says, I'm not going to have you carry it alone. We're going to team up together. Let me teach you. I'm going to do this with you. And I'm going to do the heavy lifting. Walk with me and carry a new load. He says, and here's the thing. He says, because I am humble and gentle at heart. Now, that's a funny statement. Usually it's weird to hear someone say they're humble. You know, so since they're humble, you're like, that's not very humble to say you're humble. But God can say that because Jesus, well, he was. In fact, in Paul would write later on that Jesus, though he was God and it was right to be called God and be considered equal with God, he humbled himself and came into our shoes and took upon the form of a servant and became obedient to death and served us and served our need for salvation. And so God, as important as he is, Jesus is like, I humbled myself to come and serve you. And I'm here to give you a yoke to carry. And I'm going to do it with you because here's the thing. I'm humble and I'm gentle. If the version of Jesus that has been imposed upon you is something less than humble and gentle, or maybe the people who represented his name have been less than humble and gentle, perhaps they weren't giving you a good view of Jesus. I'm humble and gentle at heart, he said. And as you come to me with your burdens and as you take my load with you instead, you will find rest. There it is again. Rest for your souls. That's what we sometimes need. It's not always body rest that we need. Sometimes we need body rest. Sometimes it's soul rest, right? And then he says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. That's an interesting set of verses there, and I want to circle back to them a little bit, but I want to just take some time today and just share my heart with you, tell you a story along the way. I came to understand faith in Christ as a teenager, and it was early in my life that I remember the first time I began to talk to God in prayer was actually an experience I had as a teenage boy on vacation with my family up in the near the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, at a cabin that we were staying at, and I'd stand over the lake and I'd just see the majesty of it all, and I found myself compelled to just say, God, you did all this, and just begin to a conversation with the Lord that began for me a spiritual birth of many more conversations with God. I remember being a teenager and walking through the neighborhood of my hometown, which was a little town in the middle of Michigan with one blinking light, and it was a village of 500 people, and you could walk around any time of the night and not worry about anything because no one was there. And I'd walk around town, or I'd walk through the church next to the house we lived in, and I would just take the time to pray and learn to communicate to God and hear from God. And it became a spiritual journey for me. And when I pray, I don't know how you pray, I move around. I know it's hard to imagine every Sunday, like I move around a lot, right? I can't stand still. I'm fidgety or something. And if you ever, by the way, if you ever talk to me on the phone, some people still use phone calls and talk on the phone. If you ever talk to me on the phone and you want to know what I'm doing while you're talking to me, I'm probably pacing. I just move around. I can't stand still. And when I pray, I like to pray that way too. I like to walk and move. And so for most of my life, I've taken prayer walks. And I say that like I'm some amazing prayer person. The truth is I've been like the rest of you. I've gone through seasons where prayer kind of fell by the wayside because I was so busy or I got distracted. I've gone through parts of my life where, you know, prayer was a chore that I did because I was supposed to or because later on it was my job, and other times where it was a vibrant part of my being. But we've all had our highs and lows, right? But along the way, what I've found is that there have been seasons in prayer where God spoke to me in a special way and led me. I believe he led me in those high school years to end a relationship I should not have been in, make a breakup, which was hard to do at the time, but it was such a good move. He brought Michelle into my life and made it clear that, you know, this is the one to pursue, and boy, has that been one of the coolest things God's ever done for me. And then he's answered my prayers over and over, and where he led me to serve him, how he led our church out of our traditional, you know, we were raised in fundamental Baptist background, and just to get us out of that mindset and that unhealth and help us become a church that was community-minded and gospel-focused. And so that whole thing was done through just prayer and God just saying, hey, I'm taking you somewhere new. I'm working on you. Even the story behind getting us into this location was a lot of prayer walks. I can go on to that story for a while. But God brought this whole thing together because of a season of prayer where he led. And sometimes he hasn't. Sometimes I feel like I get into a rut and he hasn't been. But I have a story that happened also up in Michigan by the Great Lakes. And it was last summer. It was last summer. And my family, we like to go up to the area, Mackinac, the Mackinac City area, Mackinac Island area. How many of you have been up to that area, Mackinac or the Upper Peninsula? Some of us know that area. Beautiful, beautiful place. Just so as you know, in case you don't, us Michiganders will always put out our hand. This is our state, okay? And I'm from right here, you know? But Michigan's not just the hand. It's also the Upper Peninsula above it. It looks like it's part of Wisconsin that goes over, but it's actually Michigan. Ridiculous. Just give it to Wisconsin. I don't know. It'd be so much easier. But anyhow, they're all Green Bay Packers fans up there. Anyhow, just give it to Wisconsin. But anyhow, so you have the Upper Peninsula, and the Upper Peninsula is separated by water from where Lake Huron and Lake Michigan meet. There's a narrow stretch of 5 miles between the Lower and Upper Peninsula of Michigan that is connected by a bridge called the Mackinac Bridge. And that narrow spot is the separating point to where on the one side is Lake Michigan and the other side is Lake Huron. The water looks the same, but apparently if you go down there, you're like, you know, oh, this is Lake Michigan water. Oh, this is Lake Huron water. It just kind of comes together. And you can go over that bridge. It's a fun little drive unless you're terrified of water and heights. Maybe you don't want to do that. But it's a nice 5 mile drive over the gap there on that bridge. And by the way, for fun, if you want to do something really cool, every year on Labor Day, which is coming up in a couple months, every year on Labor Day, they shut down the bridge from cars. And you know this. I see you're aware. You're plugged into this. Because what they do is they shut the bridge down, and you're invited to walk the 5 mile bridge across. And that's a lot of fun as well. So if you want something to do this year, go walk the Mackinac Bridge on Labor Day. Okay? You're welcome. That was worth coming to church for right there. All right. Anyhow, so we're going to go home now. So we would go up there every year, and my family has gone most years to spend time in Mackinac area. There's a campground we like to go to. In fact, since our kids were little, we like to go camping because when our kids were little, that's the kind of vacation we could afford. We're going on vacation. What are we going to do? We're going to get a tent. And there's no electricity, and we're going to go sleep on the ground. And that's how we're going to afford a vacation. And we did that for a long time. And then as we got a little older, had a little more financial means, and our bodies got older, we're like, I needed something to sleep on. So now we usually get a cabin. But we've been going to Mackinac for ages, most years. We won't this year because we went to Alaska, and that kind of sapped us there. But But we went last year, we'll go next year most likely to this area. And there's a big campground there that we'll stay at. We had a cabin on the water. We can see Mackinac Bridge from our cabin. It's just a beautiful place. And my policy, I love to take prayer walks. I always have, especially at nighttime, especially in a beautiful area. Hard to rival this one, but that's also a beautiful area. And so something about walking under the stars in that area, I don't know how to explain this to you if you've not ever seen the night sky away from Chicagoland. But let me just tell you, there's a lot more stars in the sky. There are not more stars in the sky. There's the same number of stars in the sky no matter where you are. But there, you can see a lot more stars in the sky in places that are not here or other big metropolises. And up in that spot where we vacation, it blows my mind on a clear night how many stars are in that sky. It just blows my mind. I'll look in the heavens and just marvel and thank the Lord. So I like to take prayer walks. And so last year I was trying to do that. I'm trying to relax. I'm trying to enjoy vacation. But I have the same cares you have. How's the church going? How's my career? You know, how are things going? What needs to be done next? How's the family situation? We have our family there, our kids there. Two of them are now newlyweds, and they're there. We're all there together in the same cabin. And I'm just trying to do life, and I'm in that rut. I'm going to be honest. I'm in that rut that some of you and I know all too well. That rut of just always being filled with some anxiety of what's next and what am I doing? Are we doing it right? Are we missing the mark? How are things going? What needs to get better? And sometimes it's low key, it's kind of bottled up inside. But for me, when I pray, that stuff comes out because I'm talking to God. And so when I'm in a mode like that, my prayers turn into just, dear God, oh God, am I on the right track? And are we doing the right things? And are we accomplishing what we need to accomplish? And all these anxieties and these threats about the future and the past and the present and how are we doing? It just comes roaring out of me at times when I'm in that space. And I hate to admit it, but it's way too many times throughout my adult life. And so I'm out here and I'm taking this prayer walk on that vacation last summer. And I'm just talking to God about all the things I'm concerned about, the anxiety. God, are we on the right track? What should we do next in the church, in my life? And am I on the right course? Am I getting it right or am I getting it wrong? And the family, this and that, and all these things. And it's one of those times along the way where God just spoke to me. He spoke to me and he gave me a word that day, that first night, that he worked me over about the entire week. Every night of that vacation, that word and I had to wrestle, I had to wrestle this thing down. And the word was rest. Ooh, it was hard. How do you rest? He was like, the idea was not physical sleep. It was rest for my soul. Just resting in him. But man, I was just so full of just, but are we getting it? What are things okay? Just all the fretting and the frustrations and the concerns and the rest. That was the word that he kept driving home to me all week long. And maybe it's a word that you could use today. Rest. I was always so troubled. How do you figure out how to rest? That's what I had to do that whole week. How do you do that? It's like a platitude, you know. Trust God, you know. Rest. Okay. I feel much better now because you said rest. So what does that look like? So for me that week in prayer, I began to talk to God about how I learned to do that. And I don't know that this will help anyone here, but I wanted at some point to share it with you, and God just got me up this morning to share it with you. So here we are. For me, it was a three-step process. And it kind of looked like this. I had to start by getting out of my own headspace, all the things that were consuming me. I had to get out of my headspace, and I had to look back. Don't miss this now. Look back at what God has done so faithfully through the years. As I look back on my life, I realize that God has, he's been there. He's been there in the other times that I was anxious. He was there the other times that I was under pressure. He was there the other times when I was scared. He's there that I was frustrated, when I was hurt, when I was angry, when I was uncertain, when I didn't know what to do. And all the seasons of life, the good, the bad, the ugly, every time I looked back on those last few decades of my life, you know what I remember when I looked back? That God always was there and always brought me through. Has God brought you through, folks? Has God been with you, and has he brought you through the things you face so far in life? I'm not saying it's been easy. I didn't mean he gave you the lottery ticket and an easy life and everyone adores you, but has he brought you through this world and all of its sorrows? Has he gotten you through the things you didn't think you could get through? Has he made the things okay that you were sure couldn't be? And has he been faithful when it wasn't? And I look back at my life and I see the footprints of God being there and being then in that moment and being in that season and being at that time. And as I looked back and saw his faithfulness, I began a three-step process that helped me get here. The first thing I did was I acknowledged it. This was an important step in the journey, was to stop and say, God, I'm looking back and I acknowledge that you have been there for me. That you have been there with me. And you've been there in it with me. And as I look back at God's faithful track record and I acknowledged it, it got my mind and my focus off all the things that kept me from being at rest. When I say rest, here, let me just stop and say something about that before I continue. Rest. The idea of resting is being at peace. Are you at peace today? Is it hard? Do you find it hard to be at peace in your life, to be able to just rest in God's care? So for me, it was getting my eye off all those other things and acknowledging that God has been there. Like I was 49 years old at the time. I'm 50 now, and I'm looking back saying, you know, for almost a half a century, God's showed up. He's been okay. I've got through it all. All the other stuff that's ever happened in my life, we're okay. Acknowledge that God has been faithful. And then number two, the next step is for me to be grateful. To be grateful. And that is to take the time, instead of saying, God, let me just vent about the things I'm worried about or my anxieties or my fears or my frustrations, I'm just going to stop and say, I acknowledge it and I want to say thank you. Boy, I'll tell you, there's something powerful. The scriptures say this over and over again. David, the psalmist, once wrote that we should enter his gates with thanksgiving. We should enter his courts with praise. That's Psalms 100. Verse 4, I believe. Paul, the apostle, said to the church in Philippi in Philippians 4:6, he said, hey, don't be full of anxiety. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And when you do, thank God for what he's done and ask him for what you need. It's always that idea of giving thanks. And so as I acknowledged that God had been faithful so far, and I took the time to say, God, thank you. Thank you that you've been there. Thank you that you've walked with me through all of this. I acknowledge with gratitude that we've made it this far. That brought me to the third step, which is the beginning point. I could rest. I had to choose to rest. It was almost like an intentional moment to stop and breathe in and breathe out and say, God's got this. But to get there, I had to look back and say, has God been faithful so far? Acknowledge it, be grateful for it, and then decide I'm going to rest in that. Decide that I'm going to rest in the fact that God has been faithful and he still is going to be. So why am I worried? Why can I not find peace? Let's rest. Now that was my process. Maybe that's a dumb process. Maybe like, oh, that's unnecessary. Great, find a better way. But I'm just telling you today, folks, that was the journey that I'm a half a century old guy pastoring a church, had. This is the process God had to lead me through last year to figure out how to rest, how to be at peace in the middle of the things that troubled me. Maybe that or something like that can help you find rest. Because Jesus said in John 11:28, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary. And a lot of us, you're carrying loads today. You're carrying loads. You got concerns with maybe it's a health front, maybe it's the financial front, maybe it's a career situation, maybe it's just exhaustion, maybe it's a growing family, maybe it's relationship problems. Sense of purpose, difficult decisions you need to make, you feel the pressures on you not to be a failure. It could be 1,000 things I can't even mention or think to say right now. But those things get you troubled and worked up, and sometimes we almost don't even pray because we're too busy fretting about things. And Jesus is saying, no. Don't walk away from me in that. Come to me when you're weary, when you're carrying a heavy burden, because I want you to find something. I want you to find rest. Okay, I could use some rest, but now what? By the way, this journey I just told you about, acknowledging that God's been faithful, giving, being grateful for it, and then choosing to rest. See, did you figure that out that first night? Oh, yeah. I mastered it in one night. No, I didn't. That entire week, I spent an hour plus every night trying to figure out again, what does this look like? Because I know what it looks like, but how do I make it happen in my through my thick skull? You know, how do I actually do it? Because otherwise, it's just a platitude. It's just a thing you say. How do I actually do this? And so every night, I have to go back to the basics. Has God been faithful? Has he been good? Do I acknowledge that? Yes. God, thank you. I'm grateful for that. Now, choose to let go and put it in his hands and rest in him. And hour upon hour for the whole week, I wrestled that down. And since I've been home for the last year, there have been times when I've gotten away from it and times when life has caught me off guard and or pulled me aside by distractions, and I had to come back and say, God, help me remember what you taught me, to rest in you when I'm weary and I'm exhausted. Okay, so I'm resting. Okay, so now what? That's what I was wondering. Now what? I'm taking these prayer walks. I'm going to acknowledge that God's been faithful. I'm going to be grateful for it. I'm going to breathe in and breathe out and just choose to rest in him and trust in his care. Okay, good. If he's got me this far, let's just rest. Good. Now what? Because you got to do something, right? That's what the next verse just said. The very next verse says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, there's something to do. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus is like, I didn't tell you to rest. Resting doesn't mean quit your job because, hey, God's got this, you know. Quit trying to invest in your relationships. No, rest means you got to do what you got to do. Some of you type A people, rest is like a scary word to you. You're like, oh, no, don't keep that away from me, man. I want to do something. I understand, but listen, while you're doing the things you're doing, it's rest for your soul, And but you gotta do the right thing. So Jesus says, listen, I want you to rest, but I want you to be doing the stuff you ought to be doing. Take my yoke upon you. What is the yoke of Jesus? Can I suggest that it's not all the things that we make it to be? Building our brand, building our business, making our money. All those things are so temporal. God's heart has always been people. So you have a job. The job's not the point. How about the people at the job? For me, I pastor a church. It's not a job. It's the people of the church. You have people in your house. You got a spouse or a significant other, children, parents, neighbors, people around us. That's the point. That's the heart that Jesus came to this world because he came for us, for the people. He told us to serve and love others the way he loved us. And so take my yoke upon you. He says, jump in the saddle with me, guys. Let's do this. So as I'm sitting there in my prayer walk last year and saying, okay, God, I'm going to take this anxiety. I'm going to acknowledge what you've done. I'm going to be grateful for that. I'm going to rest in you. Now what? For me, it became a two-step process. Well, a simple thing. That is this, to love and serve others with humility and grace. And it's hard to love and serve others with humility and grace when you're full of anxiety. Can we be real? When you're not healthy right here, it's very hard to do that. But when you find a spot where you say, I'm resting in the Lord, it's so much easier to, from that place of rest, love and serve others with humility and grace. You say, humility and grace, why? Because that is as God has loved and served me with humility and grace. That's what the verse says. Jesus, I am humble and gentle at heart. The reason I can serve other people with humility and grace, no matter what that means, is because when I look back at what God's done for me and as I acknowledge it and I'm grateful for it and I rest in it, I realize that he has throughout my life humbly and graciously served me. Isn't that true? God has humbly, think about that. What does that mean? That means that when I've been difficult and you've been difficult with God, if he was like us, he'd be like, do you know who I am? I could picture his hand coming down from the sky sometimes with me, you know, pew, there I go flying through the planets, you know. Do you know? But God has chosen the humble path of saying, I get it. You didn't listen to me. You did something dumb. Now you're calling me for help. Well, I'm not going to help. No, he steps in and walks with us through all of our messes and our bad thoughts and our good thoughts and our bad days and our good days. And just with humility, God serves us. And with grace and gentleness, he serves us. And so as I acknowledge what God's done for me, and I'm grateful for it, and I choose to rest in it, it gives me the strength to go and serve others and love others with humility and grace because God has done that for me. And when I remember how to do that for others because he did it for me first, I simply do the same three steps all over again. I acknowledge it, and I am grateful for it. And I rest in it. And that works for me. I forget sometimes. And I had to iron it out. And maybe there's a simpler path from a smarter mind than mine of how to get to rest. But I beg some of you today, don't live a life full of anxiety. Find rest in the Lord. I believe that that simple concept of that word rest has been the word I've needed most over the past year. And I don't know when God will give me a new word. I'm trying to talk him into riches as a word, but hey, and we haven't worked that out yet. But anyhow, as I work through this journey, maybe someone here, that's the word you need in your life today, is you need rest. I believe this could help us all. Perhaps God showed me then because he wanted us to see it. Maybe he changed my mind last night and made me doubt what we're doing today because someone needs to hear it. So let me just close the message portion by saying this. If you have never entered a relationship with God, if you've never come to realize that God loves you so much that he gave his son to be your savior, to die for our sins, die for my sins and your sins, to pay the penalty of all that has been done wrong by us, the things that have separated us from our God, he built the bridge to bring us back into a relationship that our decisions have caused separation, and he's come to bring it back at his expense. Jesus died for those sins, showed us what forgiveness looks like, rose again to show us that death has lost its sting, the consequence has been paid for, and that eternal life is ours again for free at his generous offer. It's free. And he invites us into relationship with him, not just in heaven someday after we die, but now walking with you and walking with me day by day and in life, living within us through his spirit, guiding our steps, sharing the yoke with us. If you've never entered a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never received, or if you've been standing from afar and saying, I don't know about this God thing, and you're thinking about it, how's that going? How's carrying your own load in life working out? I'd simply say to you, well, what Jesus would say to you in verse 28 is this, come to me. Maybe for someone today, watching online, listening later on or in the room today, it's time for you to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. If you have done so, but you kind of forgot he's there, kind of did a little wandering away and looking the other way and dealing with all the pressures and distractions of life, and you're full of anxiety and worry and fret and exhaustion, come to Jesus. His arms are open wide. He says, hey, let me give you something better to do. Let me give you something better to do. But it's not by carrying the load that you can't handle. It's by learning to rest in me. And so, come to Jesus. Ask yourself this question. Has God brought you this far? Has he brought you through anything difficult? You know the answer to that. Has he seen through any previous storms? The older you are, the more sure I am that the answer is a resounding yes. Has he brought you through things? Has he been faithful through it all? Are you still standing by his grace today? Acknowledge it. Be grateful for it. And just realize that if he's done it this far, he's got this, man. He's got this. So just rest in him. it's going to be okay. And that thought right there, if you can get your mind around it, guess what? That's better than a couple Slim Jims and a bottle of ice-cold root beer. Rest in him.